Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for this weekend, we hear of Jesus' first public appearance. And in doing so, he immediately sets the tone for his entire ministry. It says, "He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali." Now, why Zebulun and Naphtali? Why are these lands so significant? Especially when Isaiah, in the first reading, is also quoting from them. It says, "First the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the end he was glorified in the seaward road, the land west of Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish had taken wing, dispelled its darkness, and for there is no gloom where but now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Well, why does Jesus go to this area? Well, we have to understand, is the Israelites read everything, geography, history, religion, symbolically. Zebulun and Naphtali were actual lands. They were in the northern part of Israel. Now, during the time of Isaiah, these lands were threatened by the Assyrians. The Assyrian army was ready to attack and invade in this part of Israel, Zebulun and Naphtali. Therefore, these lands were dangerous. They were darkened lands. But herein lies the good news for us all. Our Messiah appears in these lands. These lands shadowed by invasion, shadowed by death and destruction. He appears in these lands in order to give us courage and strength, and to make sure that we are not overcome and destroyed. Now, what we have to understand is almost 2,000 years later, after Jesus Christ, there are parts in this world that are still overshadowed by death, destruction, and violence. We don't have to turn very far. We see it in our own world, the Afghan and Iraq wars. We see it in 9/11. This last week, we see it in the Tucson shootings. There are places in this world that are darkened, overshadowed by death. But herein lies the good news for us all. Our Savior, our Messiah, comes and he stands shoulder to shoulder with us in these darkened areas to be a source of strength and courage, to help us persevere and not be overcome by them. More to it, these lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, they symbolize the darkness in our own personal lives. And that darkness comes in many different forms: broken relationships, depression, anxiety, poor health, the unexpected death of a loved one, unemployment. No matter what darkens our life, our Savior stands with us to strengthen us and be a sign of hope for us all. Now notice what Jesus says at the very beginning of his ministry: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, Jesus is always challenging us. If you read or study all four of the Gospels, you realize Jesus is not some sugar daddy. He never sugarcoats anything. He's constantly challenging us, and he does so at the very beginning of his ministry. He wants us to change. Stop being the same old people we always are. Stop being selfish, jealous, violent, greedy, sinful. Whatever it is, what we have to understand is when you let Christ into your life, expect to be challenged. Now that's good. In fact, that's very good. Why? Because it's in the midst of that struggle of being challenged that we grow in our holiness. And that's exactly what Jesus wants for each and every one of us. Now, there's no way a person can say, Jesus is at the center of my life, and yet I can remain the same. I can be stuck in my old habits. No way. When Christ is the Lord of our life, it demands that we change, and change for the better. A great test to help us gauge where we are in the spiritual life is ask yourself this simple question: am I the same person I was last year, 2, 3, even 5 years ago? If we can say, no, I'm not the same person, I am more patient, more kind, more charitable, more forgiving, that's great. Now you are growing in holiness. But if we can say, yes, I am the same person, then we must heed Jesus' words to change, repent. Now notice, the story continues. It says, as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Where else do we see God walking? In Genesis, after creation. It says, Yahweh walked with Adam in the cool of the evening. He walks with Adam in friendship. See, that's exactly what God wants from each and every one of us. He wants friendship with us. St. Thomas Aquinas once said, the essence of the spiritual life is the cultivation of friendship with God. And yet, what does sin do? It breaks up that friendship. Notice it says, he was watching two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He was watching them. The Greek verb, when translated, means to study carefully, to be very attentive. Now, what we have to understand is Jesus didn't simply stumble upon Peter and Andrew. It didn't occur by accident. He was watching them very carefully. God was watching them. See, God took delight in watching them, and God takes delight in watching us. God takes delight in the good and the simple things in life. St. John of the Cross once said, imagine God looking at you and smiling in delight. See, that's exactly what's happening here. Jesus looking at Peter and Andrew and smiling in delight. Smiling at the beauty and the simplicity of their actions. Picture God smiling in delight as he watches you in your daily life. Now, Jesus says to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come after me. Jesus does not say, come and believe my teaching. He doesn't say, come and accept my way of life. No. Instead, he says, come after me, which means what? Conform your life to Jesus Christ. Get behind him and start following him. God wants friendship with us. How do we get it? By conforming our lives to Christ, by getting behind him and following after him. Notice further, he says, I will make you fishers of men, which means what? They're going to be gathering people back to God. What does sin do? It disrupts our friendship with God. Sin scatters all of us away from God. In fact, division is the presence of sin in this world. Diabolos in Greek means to scatter. Diabolos, the devil, is the scatterer. Now, what does Jesus say to the apostles when he says, I will make you fishers of men? Essentially, he's telling the apostles that they will have the task, the ministry, of bringing all those people that have once been scattered by sin back to God. And see, this is the task now of our church, drawing all people back to God. And we can do that by the various ministries, sacraments, sacred scripture, doctrine, and dogma. These are all just a few ways in which we bring people back to God that were once scattered because of sin. And that truly is the task of our church. What happens next? It says, they abandoned their nets and they followed him. This is great. For centuries, we have waited for friendship with God. Sin scatters us away from God. But now Jesus Christ comes into this world to offer friendship with God once again. What must we do? Exactly what the apostles did. Move and act upon it. I've always said one of the greatest spiritual tragedies is we put it off. We take the offer of friendship that God has given us and we dawdle. We put it off to next week. We second guess it. We don't take the opportunity. Instead, we must trust in the fact that God is watching us with great delight and love. He is always calling out after us to give us the one thing, the unum necessarium, the one thing necessary that will give us peace, joy, and fulfillment in life, and that is friendship with God. Therefore, we, like the apostles, must move. We must drop everything. We must not put it off or wait. Act upon it. Now, does this mean that we all have to leave church today and go and enter into monasteries, be monks, friars, priests, or nuns, develop a monastic lifestyle? No, not at all. Instead, what Jesus means by dropping everything is that the apostles drop the things that preoccupied their attention away from God. And what does that for us? What preoccupies our attention away from our Lord? Money, ego, honor, fame, fortune, notoriety, materialism? How about just entertainment? How many hours a day do we spend watching TV, cable, movies? How many hours do we Twitter? Are we on Facebook? Are we on the internet? See, these are all things that preoccupy our attention away from our Lord. What must we do? Drop them. These things are nets that bind us, prevent us from getting behind our Lord and following after Him. What we must do today is accept the call from Jesus Christ. Christ is constantly watching, calling out after us. We must accept the offer of the unum necessarium, the one thing necessary that will give us true peace and fulfillment in life, and that is friendship with Christ. Act upon it immediately. Seize the opportunity, just like the apostles did. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.